gotta go faster, keep up the pace, just to stay in the human race. I could go supersonic, the problem's chronic. Tell me, does life exist beyond it? When I need the state, I just accelerate into oblivion. Into oblivion.
Buenos nachos, amigos, and welcome to a very special episode of The Record Breakers. A mea culpa episode. We had a little mishap, mostly my mishap, and we lost two whole episodes in the process. So we're gonna give you a quick recap of those couple episodes, and of course, to join me on this discussion are none other than Drew.
What's up?
Brett.
Hey.
And Patrick.
Hello.
And also to join us once again to recap his episode, our guest for one of our episodes, none other than Matthew, a.k.a. Squiggles McGee. How you doing, Matt?
Howdy. I am great. Thanks for having me.
And we are excited to, at least, I'm nervous and excited as always, but we are together to kind of give you a little bit of a rundown of what happened on those fateful episodes. First of all, we had, Squiggles, we had Matthew on an episode, on a guest episode, our first guest ever, and we had a discussion on discussing the Moody Blues, Days of Future Past. Matt, give us a little bit of a rundown on your experience of, Days of Future Past and your history with it and a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, it's honestly one of my favorite albums, I think. It's a concept album, and like there are some concept albums that I'm fine with pausing, you know, just, you know, playing in spurts basically, but this is one of those albums that I always feel kind of dirty if I don't listen to it all the way through in one sitting. You know, it's just, I just think it's a great album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a very nice, complex, interesting album with an interesting history, right, Matthew?
Yeah, it was Moody Blues. They were originally actually a blues band that included Denny Lane from Paul McCartney's Wings. And they had a debt to pay. And so the way they decided to pay this debt was by recording on state-of-the-art equipment, which has to be one of the best ways to pay someone back.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then they of course, were tasked with testing new equipment by reappropriating a classical symphony, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so originally, it was basically, they were basically originally going to do Antonin Dvorak, New World Symphony, I guess that's how you say it, is basically a demo of this equipment so they could send it out to people and say, oh, you know, look how, you know, hear how great the sound quality is. So they were supposed to do a rock version. Instead, they decided to record Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Really cool album, basically taking you through a day in the life of, well, anybody.
A day in the life of a day.
Of a day. Of a guy. Of a die. So let's kind of give it a rundown of some quick thoughts. I'll start with Drew. You kind of give a recap and kind of give your thoughts on the album and a little bit of what we discussed.
Well, coming into it, I said, like, I was not familiar with the band The Moody Blues. I didn't know what they were about. I knew they were this sort of, like, great classic band that were sort of trendsetters in their genre and all that, and like sort of pushing that forward, but I didn't really know much about them. After listening to this record, Matt's right. Like, it's a great concept album, and it does that thing that I love about concept albums, which is when you can match the lyrics and the feel of the music to the overall theme, and they both mesh, and they both, like, if you took the lyrics out of this and you just had the music, I think you could still go on the same journey that you were meant to go on without having that lyrical backing. because the music sort of fits that tone. And I think that really goes to show, they really thought it through and their musicianship was on point enough to be able to force that issue. So I think that was really cool. I liked how it played out. So
yeah. And you described a little bit of how you, imagine it being a soundtrack of a movie or a TV show. As we described it, when we actually talked about it originally, especially the lunch break. The lunch break song. You can imagine like driving scene. People just driving along, going to their lunch, going back from their lunch, you know, driving along and
with the over second wind driving sort of left and right.
Yeah.
As that, they like, do in the 50s.
I've got to get back. I'm on my second wind. I'm so excited sort of feel to it. Yeah. And there was definitely moments of that throughout where like you could feel in the music and hear in the lyrics this sort of, build up to something, which was cool.
Yeah, and it's just really cool. Patrick, what kind of give a recap of what your thoughts were on the album.
Again, I sort of like Drew, I had heard of the Moody Blues, but I was not familiar with the Moody Blues beyond Nights in White Satin, which is, you know, a song that I heard when I was a kid at some point. But this, as a concept album, it's one of the more complete and well put together ones I've ever listened to. The orchestral stuff is well done. The music's pretty good. It might not be like my cup of tea, but it's good enough that like you can't help but respect the hell out of it for what it is. There's, you know, a couple of really great moments, but it feels very complete beginning to end. And I think what Squiggs is saying about it being something that you have to listen to beginning to end is apropos of, I think, what they wanted, and probably the best way to experience it is sort of as one piece of music.
It almost feels a shame that you would have to wait to turn your record over originally to be able to keep listening to it. It almost feels more complete if you didn't have to stop. But yeah, the fact that you had to actually turn the record over to stop half the way, it almost seems like a waste of a few seconds of momentum. But it just has that real complete feel from front to back. Brett, what were your thoughts? Give me kind of a recap of your thoughts on the album.
Well, I had a really, really, really hilarious joke about Wolverine and time travel, but I'm not going to redo that. Just come up with a joke in your head and think of something funny and imagine I said it.
And then imagine me correcting him, saying, no, it's spelled P-A-S-S-E-D, not P-A-S-T. Yes. And then you basically have the whole bit.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah. Old Kitty Pride, and this album I'd not played with it too much. I've heard what has been played around in Nights in White Satin, listening through it and reading about it, this had a really, really one of the definitive uses of the instrument, the Mellotron.
Yeah.
Go onto Wikipedia, look at the Mellotron. That was a thing. That instrument cost more than your average automobile and at the time. And, it's a crazy, like, keyboard that uses tapes instead of, you know, any kind of digital. It's actually playing tape when you hit the buttons on the keyboard. Which is pretty damn awesome. Yeah. It was a trippy album. It works really well in a trippy album. It's definitely a piece of a certain time. And it, from what I've heard and seen on movies, it seems like this may or may not have been used by many in recreations where they put pieces of blotter paper on their tongue that had some sort of illicit substance. It's one of those kind of albums.
Yeah.
Maybe
something that has been renamed some kind of feminine name with the letter M at the beginning recently.
Yeah, I mean, you can have fun with this album with or without the drugs, but I imagine that some and probably many people have enjoyed it on the drugs.
Oh yeah. No. If you enjoy yourself some drugs, I am not one to enjoy the drugs, but if that is your MO, go get some of them and go listen to this album, because it will be a fun trip for sure.
I
would like one drug, please.
Yes. Go to the drug one store. Drug.
Ask for
I would
the
like
drug.
To have a drug. Where can I acquire a drug?
Like a drug. Just one. Can I have drug. A
You get acetaminophen.
Can I have a drug and maybe a alcohol to go with it?
Yes.
I get a sack of a marijuana, please. That'd be great. Thank you.
Hey, Drew, I think they're calling us squares. I don't know. I get the feeling.
Oh, no. I purposely worded it exactly that way in hopes that somebody would pick up on that.
We are very much L7, I imagine. Like they used to say, L7. Not the
Fem Rock band?
Not the,
Are we pretending we're dead?
Not the, I was looking, I was looking for the word also-ran, but that completely missed my mind. I couldn't find the term also-ran in my mind to save my life. But yeah, not the also-ran, girl grunge band. just squares. But yeah, those are pretty much our thoughts on the album, and we'll kind of course, for that episode, we also did haikus, and it'd be a shame to let a haiku go to waste. Haiku is a terrible thing to waste.
Except for if you're Drew and you accidentally don't save it, and I feel sorry for him. He was furiously haikuing.
I was furiously haikuing. And I probably didn't get it right from what I had, but.
Probably. Why don't we get it out of the way? Rip the band-aid off for you, Drew. Go ahead.
My Moody Blues haiku would be a fun ride through work, a day in the life of man, musicianship shines. And I did use the word musicianship in my first haiku, I said it way better this time.
Yay!
When I almost dropped my phone out of my own hands, that would be nice. Yeah.
Yay!
No one's going to see me pump my fists in the air, so I'm going to have to articulate that I actually did just do that alone in my room.
You are Italian, Drew. Yeah.
I speak with my hands. I'm sorry.
Yes. Patrick, go ahead and give us your haiku once again.
Orchestral dreamland, concept albums, kind of hard, may require drugs.
I have mines as well. Classical stylings with psychedelic soundscapes. This is far out, man. And of course, moving on, we have, Brett. What is your haiku?
There has never been psychedelic classical quite like these dudes.
Nice. And of course, last but not least, Squiggles, what is your haiku?
Days of Future Past, lovely way to pass the time. Concept albums rule.
Yes. And that basically articulated kind of our thoughts. It's a shame that y'all weren't able to join the original journey, but it was a fun journey nonetheless. And, of course...
It turned into ones and zeros of unreadable state.
Yeah. Or, well, 10-second clips of either the left or the right channel that I would have to assemble piece by piece. But that's neither here nor there. Damn it, Audacity. It's my fault. All right, so, of course, we are moving on to the other episode that we recorded. We recorded a episode with an album of Swagger's choosing. Squiggles, you can stick around and kind of be like the outside observer to our conversation.
Be Gelman. Be our producer.
be our guy. Just, you can chime in, whatever thoughts or questions you have. But, Swagger, you had an album that you presented us on a lost episode, didn't you?
So I had a nostalgia, as we've all decided, and it was Glassjaw's Worship and Tribute, of that sort of late 90s, early 2000s post-hardcore, one of the seminal records of that period, their second album. And, pretty much, if I recall, most of you guys didn't really like it. I think that was the general, theme. Drew, I think had some like, oh, I'm familiar with this, and this wasn't the band I listened to then, but I've heard this before. And Petey was a little bit, I've heard this before, and Brett was like, this is the worst thing I've listened to all week. maybe month. Maybe
it was
month.
Longer
I don't know.
Than a week, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was an interesting album to explore, and I would say, Drew, yeah, go ahead and give your recap of your thoughts.
Well, when we started to do Glassjaw, it when I heard we were doing Glassjaw, when Swagger said we were going to do Glassjaw for his record, I was like, oh, cool. This was a band that, like, everybody that was in my wheelhouse and that was like, okay, the bands I like, they also listened to Glassjaw. But it was one of those bands that the band had all already, like, hit the radio, and I was, like, a young, like, emo little, like, oh, I hate the radio, blah, 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 like, little punk rock little fuck. But, like, I decided, like, later on, obviously, that I wasn't going to worry about that, but Glassjaw had already passed me by, so I didn't really look back to it. And when I listened to it, it was like, oh, okay, I can see what the people that were listening to it heard in it, but it just didn't hit the right notes anymore. I was too far out of that era in my life that I didn't hit the nostalgia notes that Swagger did. I was like, okay, well, whatever. I've sort of grown into somebody who appreciates a little bit, as Brett will probably scream about later, a little bit more minutia in music, a little bit more to it sometimes, and it didn't hit me. There wasn't enough there for me to latch onto, and I feel if I would have heard it when I was like 13, 14, 15 years old, it probably would have been something different. I probably would have enjoyed it a bit more, but as it stands, it spoke to nothing of my life right now, and it got lost on me.
Yeah, it's tough because it definitely reminded me of a lot of the things that I did enjoy from that era, the early 2000s, of, you know, the other bands that I listened to, like Taking Back Sunday and the like, and it had some of those elements that connected to that music, but it wasn't that, and it was fun, and I enjoyed my trip through the album, but ultimately I would have probably wanted to just pop in, you know, Taking Back Sunday, you know, or something like that, to actually tie into what I actually listened to back then. But overall, yeah, it was a fun record to listen to, but it was like, but it was for a specific reason that maybe didn't apply to other people. So, Brett, give us a little bit of a recap of your thoughts on the album.
Well, the abbreviated take is, it didn't speak with me lyrically. It didn't speak to me. I didn't really pull any, like, musical greatness from it. To quote an old man from Something Scott Johnson Plays All the Time, I just didn't hold with it, bub. I remember this genre as it came out, and I was a grown man by that time. I didn't like it then. It didn't speak to me. I don't relate. It has gurgle guitars and, you know, screaming, and that does not invoke any kind of emotion in me.
Fart guitars and Quaalude mouth vocals.
Yes, there is Quaalude mouth. You know, it sounds like somebody went and had some dental work and then started singing.
Which is not uncommon.
You know, it does not speak to Brett Hibbard, and it's, I'm sure due to the success and the noteworthiness of people's nostalgia that it does speak to some people, but I just must have missed out on that.
Yeah. Squiggles, you want to make up some thoughts of an album you didn't listen to?
Absolutely. I came in with really open minds, but try as I might, it didn't click with me.
You left with a closed mind.
Yes, exactly.
Opposite of an education. He did the opposite way. You know, you're supposed to come in with a closed mind and an empty mind to an open mind, and then it went from an open mind to a closed mind. It's like,
exactly. Oh, listen, poo. I'm not saying I shot anybody after listening to the album. I'm but just not saying I didn't.
But he was not opposed to if it happened upon him.
Make sure you get rid of the gun, Squiggs. Destroy the evidence.
Exactly.
Always.
Drop the gun, bring the cannoli.
It's Texas. He can get away with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. There, we have our ways.
Discover our force!
Wait a second. If it's Texas, can't you just throw the gun in a bush and it'll get lost in like the five other guns that are already in that bush.
Yes.
Because
wait, no, isn't that Chicago?
No.
No, that's the river.
That's the river.
Chicago.
Okay. Right, the river in Chicago, the entire bottom is lined with guns. What I'm saying is the guns floweth like wine in Texas.
Floweth.
Yes.
The cup floweth over. But moving on to, of course, the haikus of this episode as we, go back to memory lane. I'll start the other way around. I'll start with, Brett. What was your haiku?
All right. I had the feeling I could fart some better tunes out of a tuba.
It seems like something that Yoko Ono would do. Like, Google it sincerely. Drew, what is your haiku?
I should have caught it when I was young and emo. It doesn't hit me right.
Of course, mine was, vocals familiar, takes me back to emo days, still fun in the end, and swagger. What was your haiku?
Post-hardcore classic, personally formative, and I still love it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, it is...
I have a haiku. Can I read
it? Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Never heard Glassjaw. After hearing reviews, glad. Thanks for sparing me.
Yes.
High five, Squiggles. High five.
That was an musical.
I can't even hate you right now.
That was amazing. That was perfect. That was a perfect way to end the core content of the of this little weird episode that we're doing. Those were all our thoughts on those episodes. It's a bummer we didn't get to share you the first draft, but hey, we still had a little bit of fun together today. So one last thing. So, Matt, we have a really cool thing that you provided for us. We're gonna have a new outro song. We've had our, you know, intro song, you know, Bad Religion, Supersonic, but now we're gonna have something a little bit, you know, more fun and custom made for you. Tell us a little bit about the song and kind of how it came about and how you made it.
Okay, well, the song is called "I'll See You in My Dreams," and I like to hang out with all these guys, with all y'all, a lot, and so sometimes I'll plug in my guitar to the little interface box I use for a mic and just kind of play along. Then Brett heard this song and said, "Oh, it's a cool song. Record it for me." I said, "Okay." And so I used my Heil mic with a Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 recording into Reaper, which is the digital audio workstation I used.
Mm-hmm. Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Pro Tools for normal people.
Amateur tools.
Yeah.
Yes, actually.
Catch can tools. But,
go for it.
But for those who haven't used Reaper employs the same business model as WinRAR, which is, hey, you should buy this. We're not going to let you use it if you don't buy it. And then you click the red X and that goes away. And then you can use the thing. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It's not even that expensive to buy. Isn't it?
No,
like
it's 50 like 60
bucks or something.
No.
Yeah, you get a 3-month free trial, and then they would appreciate it if you bought it for $60. If your studio makes like less than $50,000 a year.
Yeah. It's I imagine it must be really cool. It's better than the Escape Velocity freeware policy, which was if you didn't pay for it, some unbeatable heroic warship would come and find you every once in a while and kill you right on the spot, which was odd. It was like the oddest thing. But anyways, as you were saying, Matt.
Oh yeah, so I did most of the miking in my closet. I stuck my amp in there, stuck the microphone in there. Played it, listened through my studio monitors and my headphones, and mixed it.
It was just, so It was just you said your lap steel and then, one of your guitars, right?
Oh, right, yeah. So the main guitar is my Stratocaster running through my Twin Reverb in the closet. And then I added some, lap steel. And then lastly, I was gonna record, the lead guitar on my Strat again, but I couldn't make it sound different enough, so I thought, what guitar should I use? And then, so I reached for my Resonator guitar.
Nice.
Which was built the last year that Dobro was still owned by Dobro, before they were bought out by Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really cool. And it has that really cool, like, sound to it, and it's really dreamy and fun, and lets you kind of go out. It lets you relax. It's like a good cool down song, you know? The Bad Religion is your warm up. This is your cool down.
Yeah. It's always been such a good, like, ending song for me, I always thought.
And it is one of the standard, finger style guitar songs that, like, everybody wants to be able to play, but it really is. It's like if you go on YouTube, you'll see amazing players playing this, and you won't see me, that is slightly beyond my skill level. I just haven't tried enough probably, but it's a very, very, it's very difficult to play two different voicings at the same time on one instrument, and, it's kind of groovy if you look at the mechanics of it, so.
Alright, so that is gonna be the song you're gonna hear, start now and at the end of future episodes. Of course we're gonna keep having future episodes. We have our, Mog and Spotify playlist. Mog for now is, well, it still exists, but definitely Spotify going forward. I'm still looking into what we're gonna do as far as Beats Music as that's coming around, to take over Mog. So look forward to that. And on those playlists, hopefully, is going to be our next record, our next album, that hopefully I'm not gonna screw up, is gonna be Brett's album. Brett, what album are we going to talk about next time?
We're gonna be talking about some hip hop, I believe as they call it. We're gonna listen to, MC Chris Goes to Hell.
Yes.
By the aforementioned MC Chris.
Yes. I guess we're kind of starting in the middle of the rotation, but we're kind of starting, hip hop month. We've been thinking about doing theme cycles, for our show, and we're gonna start one now, with, MC Chris. Of course, you can find us all over the internet. Patrick is at Swagger, Brett is at Hibbity Bibbard, HIBBITYBIBBARD, Drew is at XJuicifer X, I'm at PD Rave, everywhere on the internet. The show is at 4 Record Breakers. That's the number 4 Record Breakers. It's at recordbreakerspodcast.com. If you have anything you want to email us, it's also at recordbreakerspodcast@gmail.com. Rebelli.net for all the other, podcasts, including, Hallyujuku for some K-pop goodness and K-drama and other East Asian pop culture goodness. And of course, the Fanny Pack Wrestling Podcast, which started it all. With my buddy DJM, future episode, is gonna star none other than Swagger for some synergy. We're gonna talk about National Pro Wrestling Day, so that's gonna be a good thing to look out for that. But, until next time, hasta los huevos.
Hey.
Yeah?
Didn't give him my Twitter handle.
Oh! Squiggles is at MRiddickW.
Thanks.
Squiggles.
And should be at Squiggles.
That's Squiggles.
It's taken.
Oh, wow.
Well. Squiggs McGee.
Squiggles McGee.
I have tried every possible version of Squiggles McGee, and all of them are taken.
Alright, so that is the unfortunate thing. So it's MRiddickW. But until next time, hasta los huevos. Play us out, Squiggles.